Good to see you. Those of you that are all faced this way know that it's not snowing. You don't need to panic and run to your car. This has been an interesting journey through Genesis. So far, you know, we've looked at the creation. We've looked at the fall. We've looked at the, as mankind grew in number and spread out. And then as mankind would be after the fall, totally messing up everything that he was given responsibility for. So much so to the extent that God said, I'm starting over, basically. And he gave this man, Noah, all the instructions he needed, and he gave him the Holy Spirit to say, okay, you're going to do this thing. It won't make any sense to human beings around you. And it's going to take a long time. But I want you to build this boat, and then I want you to tell people the problem that they're in and see. And only eight people then were actually on the ark, along with God bringing in the animals so that he could start this thing over again. So he does that, and Noah comes out of the ark with his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then we see in there, in this, as we recounted this incident where Ham saw his father unclothed, and evidently he was doing something he wasn't supposed to do in that culture, and it was a shame to his father. And so we saw that, and that section of Ham, or of Noah's offspring, kind of moving away from being people of God. And unfortunately, that's the way it happened the first time with Adam and Eve, and then people started eventually moving away from God. Why is that? One of the things we're going to talk about today is why that is. But when God created mankind, he basically said, I'm going to do everything you need. I'm going to meet your physical needs. And he put him in the Garden of Eden where everything was right there, just reach up and grab it. And there it is, and I'm going to make sure that you have all the things that you need, and then all the things that you need in here too. And think about that. Think if that's the way it was now, and then what would happen? Instead of us thinking about ourselves all the time, because if all of my needs were met, man, I'd run out of time with stuff. I'd have to start thinking about things to do, and I might be thinking about what I could do for you. But no, since the fall and everything was broken, and man lost access to all of that stuff, God cursed the world. And so instead of that stuff being right there to just be grabbed and no, I got to spend a fair amount of my time going after just supplying my physical needs. And in fact, this creation is now working against me. And we see that. I mean, every time, if you own a car, you know about that. Or if you just have left your yard unkept for like one month and you look out there, my goodness, nature's trying to take over my whole place. So we see that everything that was intended by God to be laid out exactly for our benefit is now working against us. And so in this brokenness, mankind, instead of having the ability to think outside himself and say, it's not about me anymore, it's about God, and it's about how do I serve others? And it starts becoming turned inward, and we become those people that are trying to make ourselves the gods of our own life. And that's what we saw as we went through at the beginning here. Well, go one more. In the Tower of Babel, and then here was these people, and they were broken, and they were not people of God, and they were told to go out and fill the earth and spread out. And have more kids. So you could, God said, I made this big old earth, and here you are in this one little section of it, but I want you to fill the whole thing. And so I'm going to give you this, and this is my will, this is my mission for you, mankind, go out and do this. Well, as soon as mankind becomes the god of their own life, well, they have completely other ideas. And so instead of doing what God said, they did what they wanted to do. And there was a lot of reasons for that. And they went and they said, no, this is what we think would be smart. This is what we think would be safe. This is what we think will make us who we want to be. And instead of doing it God's way, they did it man's way. And that is exactly the problem that all mankind finds itself in every single day. Okay, so we looked at that, and so we went through and looked at the incident itself, and then I came up with these five things. I think this is how they went wrong. They were looking for the same thing everybody else is looking for. We just want to feel good about life. We want to find those needs that got taken away from us when we broke relationship with God, and we're still trying to satisfy those needs. So first of all, we got to satisfy, you know, some of the physical stuff. But second of all, we need to satisfy the inner stuff. And so we need to do things our own way. We need to feel safe. We need to feel like we have a purpose. We need to have an identity. We need to feel like, you know, this is something that's smart. And so they did it their way. And this here's what we saw. We saw that man doing man's will instead of God's will. That's what we talked about last week. So this week we're going to be talking about committing the sin of selfishness and pride, and then we're going to be looking at demonstrating no faith in God's plan and doing it man's way, and then relying on man's efforts to find security in this world, and then the final one will be how did they go about trying to get back or serve God or worship God or have a relationship with God their way instead of God's way. Okay, so we're going to be looking at all those. But today, we're going to be looking at the one here, committing the sin of selfishness and pride. Now, you can look down the list. You say, well, maybe the first one. How many of you, and I did hear from some of you, how many of you last week left here thinking, you know what? I wonder if I really am thinking about God's will as much as I'm thinking about what I want. How many of you left here? You don't have to raise your hand. But hopefully it resonated with you because this is one that's pretty typical for almost all Christians. Because it's hard. Because, you know, we wake up every morning in the driver's seat of our life and we want to take control. And it has to be an intentional effort to say, no, not today, God, not my will, but yours be done. And because that's where we start. We're hardwired that way. And so that's one that we all struggle with. And if you say you don't, then there's another sin you're struggling with. Mine. And so here's another one that maybe is the rock, bedrock of almost all sin. Selfishness. You know, pride and selfishness. When we were broken, you go back to the garden, go back to the first part of Genesis, and what did they immediately do? What did Cain immediately do? Yeah, I'm not going to do the sacrifice God's way. I like my stuff. I want to say, hey, look, I can be good at this. You know, Abel, yeah, man. I grew all this cool stuff. God, you need to accept me the way I am. And when he didn't, and he was jealous, and it created, and we're going to see this later on where it says, hey, you know, when you have these things, the sin of pride and selfishness, it's going to create some really bad actions in your life. Okay. So we see it right off the bat. That's what happened. Man wants to be the God of his own life, and he starts to rebel against other people and God himself because I want now what I want. And so just think about it. We won't even list the sins, but just think about any sin right now. Think one. Can it not be taken back to the sin of self-thinking? I want to do this. Well, the Holy Spirit's telling me it's wrong, but guess what? I want it. I'm going to find ways to justify it, and I'm going to do it anyway. Now, maybe there's a few that are just, you know, part of an emotional, you do something to me and I just scream and yell and I'm sinning, but it was an emotional response. But in the end, it's still based on trying to be the God of your own life instead of surrendering your life. Okay, so those of you that are followers, first of all, okay, we did this thing just here a second ago, and What that was supposed to remind us of, and it's supposed to be both a memorial and a celebration of how it was that God gave us access back to the things we lost in the fall. Relationship with Him and access to the needs of our soul so that we could live an abundant life. Here and then in eternity. And the abundant life has nothing to do with how much stuff you have or how many people know you or how many followers you have on Facebook. It has nothing to do with any of that. It just is this, now I'm giving you the needs of your soul, but they have to come from me. Because when you're out there trying to find them on your own, good luck with that. That's not so. So I'm giving you access now, and that's what this was a celebration of. How did God, in His plan, bring us back into relationship with Himself? So that was great. But now, here we are in relationship with Himself. So if you came in here and you're a follower of Christ and you're already saved and you're just saying, now, we're all on this pathway. That's what the Bible says. I've given you my Holy Spirit with the intent to transform you back to the image of Jesus. I am opening up this pathway of the abundant life, and here we are on it, each one of us, every single day, trying to figure out, how do I get out of God's way so that He can remake me into the image of Jesus? Okay. So then I looked at these, and I say, well, you know, these are all minds on the pathway, and we stumble over them, and they blow up, and they cause us to get off course with God. Okay. Pride and selfishness. So I need my kids. I need the kids up. Let me make a little bit of room here. I hope, and I probably have said this more than once, this is really not for these guys at all. This is for you in terms that you can actually understand what I'm trying to say. But they get it too. I have a lot less problems with them understanding. I'm going to do this. All right. What does this say? Okay, you got to get in there and stay in there. All right. We all need to get in here and stay in here. I know. So here we are. You see that? God's will. Here we are. Just a minute. I'm going to blow this up a little bit. You can see. There you are. You see your little face on there? All right. Yeah, I don't want to. Well, that's coming. Here we go. And so here we are. We're human beings, and we start growing, and you know what? We can still, can we fit in there? Can we fit in there, God's will? All right, okay. And when we have the correct view of ourselves, that's where we can go, right? But that's, what is the correct view of ourselves? The life's not about us. It's about God, and it's about others, right? That's the way we were designed to be, but then because we're broken, everything is starting to be about us. Now, when you're smaller, that's just naturally. I mean, we're all that way. But you know, we have Jackson in our house, and he's 3, and he pretty much is all about himself, right? That's how we are. We start out that way. And, you know, but if we don't get out of that, what happens? Our head starts getting bigger and 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 bigger, and we start thinking life is all about us. And now, do I fit inside God's will anymore? No, I don't, do I? Because my big fat head gets in the way. And that's called pride and selfishness. I don't know how long it's going to take. What's going to happen? That's right. You know, so because the Bible tells us pride goes before a fall and destruction. I'm not sure this is ever going to work. And more things I start to think about myself, and it feels pretty good. Scared you? Did it scare you? I hope it did. I hope it scared you. Because that's what the Bible says is going to happen if you become entrenched in pride and selfishness. It says it leads to destruction, yeah. And that's what your life is going to look like after that. All right, you guys get it? Don't be proud. Don't be selfish. What does the Bible say we're supposed to do? Think about God.
think about other people.
Living outside of ourselves, it's super hard to do. But you guys can do it. I have every confidence in you. If you give your life over to Jesus, then God will help us keep our heads in check so we can still get down the path of His will. Okay? Got to remember that. All right, thank you very much. Sorry for the loud noise, sort of. So here we are, and we're on this pathway of God changing us to be like Jesus. And these things come up in our lives. And so if you don't take the time and the effort to intentionally examine yourself on a regular basis, these things float in. I mean, I say their minds on the pathway to being transformed into God, but here's the problem. It's probably more like the Ebola virus. You probably just go in there, and if you're not really paying attention, you pick it up, and it starts to infect you, and then before you can understand what's going on, you're dead. It doesn't just blow up all of a sudden. You're doing this stuff. And so if we aren't intentionally thinking, God, what am I letting get in your way of the transformation process you promised to be doing in me with your Holy Spirit? What are those things that I'm allowing to live inside my heart and mind that are keeping me from being transformed? These are a good 5 points to start with. There's plenty more. Plenty more. So we're going to talk about these things. So we're on this list, and we're going to be on this list for a little bit, but right now we're talking about committing the sin of selfishness and pride. And so we're going to look at it this way, and we're going to see right here, this is what they did. In Genesis 11, this is the Tower of Babel story. And in verses 3 and 4, it says, "And they said to one another, come and let us make bricks, burn them thoroughly. And they had a brick for stone and bitumen for mortar," which is tar. "And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." Clearly, this was not God's will. But what were they seeking? They were seeking, we want to be cool. We want people to know about us. We want to achieve in our own strength. And they were thinking about themselves instead of thinking about the will of God or others. It's like, hey, we're afraid. We need some security. But they were selfish. And so as I was looking, this is, again, it's not the people of God. But as I went through that list and looked at the 5 points, I'm thinking, and I told you this last week, I've done all 5 of those in some way or another. And so even though, we understand maybe it's the people of God, well, of course they're going to be like that. Or people that aren't of God, of course they're going to be like that. But what about us? Why are we still struggling with those same things? But we do. We do struggle with them. And so we got to figure this out. What's the answer? So here we're going to be looking at these 4 points regarding selfishness and pride. First of all, what are they? Second, why? Why do I go there? If I'm saved, and if I have God's Holy Spirit in me, and if God is unrelenting in His purpose to change me in this life, as well as, of course, He's going to change me at the end, whether I die or Jesus returns. He's going to finish the job. But for right now, He is unrelenting with His Holy Spirit. But then it seems like still I can get in God's way. So what about that? Why do we go there when we know it's not really what's best for us? So then we'll look at that. And then what does God think about these things? Has He actually said, yeah, you know what, these are bad and don't do them? So we'll see. And then the big question, how do we avoid going there? Okay, so that's what we're going to do. So first of all, let's take a look at what these things are. Selfishness and pride. You see that they're related. Yes, you can raise your hand on this one. Do you think they're related? Selfishness and pride. Okay. Can you be selfish and not have pride? What do you think? I'm not so sure. There's some people that maybe they're really selfish, but they're just really insecure, and so you think, well, they're not really prideful. What about the other one? What about, can you be prideful without being selfish? Now, that one's pretty much, I think, no. Absolutely no. Because if you're prideful, you are definitely focused on yourself. So let's take a look at sort of a definition of the two. But think about these things, and I want you to think about them. Selfishness. I think about what I want, what's best for me, and what I enjoy. And then I seek these things most of the time with very little concern for the effect that my actions may have on the people around me. Because they do. But so what? I don't care. Because it's about me. Because I am inwardly focused. Because I am ultimately concerned about how does life affect me? And is it negative or positive? And if it's negative, get rid of it. And if it's positive, then bring it on, because my life is spent focused on me. You were born that way, and so was I. And that behavior, as I was telling with Jackson, it's very inherent that you can see that right off the bat. You know, this kid, he cries every time he wants something when you're first born, and it's all about me. Gamey, 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 gamey. Okay, we get that. We understand. They're immature. They don't know any better. But then it just gets worse and worse and worse. And then, you know, boy, you get into teenagerhood. Oh, my goodness. You've learned the whole selfishness thing, and you're getting better at it, and plus you're able to be more stinky with it. And you can have the attitude. And again, it's partially about maturity, you hope, right? That maybe I'm going to get a little more mature and recognize that life isn't all about me and the world doesn't revolve around what I need. But then we don't always get it, do we? And we continue to be this. So we understand that this is probably true, that somehow I am hardwired to evaluate everything that's going on around me based on how does it affect me and is it going to be somehow negative, and therefore I got to get rid of it. Selfishness. Pride. I believe that who I am, what I can do, what I have, or how I look makes me a better and more important person than others. And I want others to recognize this truth that I have. I'm better than you. I'm more important than you. I'm better looking than you. I can do better things than you. And that's fun for me to think about, but it's way better when you think about it too. And I want all the benefits that come with being this really important, cool, talented, good-looking person. And we see that developing into a character trait in certain people. Now, unfortunately, you know, that's probably the textbook example, but in all kinds of ways, we can be prideful. Even when, you know, we're not arrogant, like some, I got to be honest, in all my life, in business, in most of my relationships, and I've been doing this for, 66 years, I have two kinds of people I have really difficult time with, mean people and arrogant people. There are lots of other issues people have. And I don't seem to have that big of a problem dealing with them. But those two things, man, I have a hard time with that. So people who are mean, people who are arrogant. And if you're arrogant and mean, I'm probably going to find a different friend. Because both of those things have consequences for other people, don't they? Okay, so those are the things. This is what we have. This is the problem that we find ourselves sneaking our way into, because it's there and it's inside of us, this sin that still lives in us. Even though we've been changed, even though we've been given a new heart, even though we're trying to get our minds transformed, you know, we can read in Romans, sin lives within me like a cancer. And it's never going to be completely removed. And it is trying to get me to do certain things based on this need to supply my own needs. And I'm doing it. And it's never going to go away completely. But God is in there transforming us, and he's saying, okay, we're going to try to kill every little bit of that, one little thing at a time, and it's, but it's still going to be in there. And so I understand that the propensity for me to want to be selfish and prideful is never going to completely go away. So why do we go there, especially the people of God? Well, because we're broken. Because, unfortunately, even though we are saved, there are aspects of it that are still trying to be the God of our own lives. And you know, last week we looked at doing God's will, doing man's will. It's kind of the same thing, right? Why am I doing man's will, my own will, instead of God's will? It's because I'm broken and I want to be the God of my own life. And again, if you don't understand and take the initiative and be intentional about putting God in the driver's seat, that's just where you end up. I think we start there. You know, with the time we get out of bed, I think we start there, and I think it takes some intentionality every single day, right? And so it's the same way with this one. So why are we there? Because that's who you are in part. Now, if you don't have Jesus, that's who you are in full. But God says, I made this new creation, right? And so there's this new me. You can read about it in Colossians. You can read about it in Romans. You can read about it in practically any of Paul's letters. The difference between the old you and the new you. But then Paul in Romans is saying, I understand there's a new me, but it's fighting with the old me every single day for control. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this? And then he goes on just to give you the answer. Well, I need to live in the Spirit. Okay, we're going to be talking about that. But why do we go there? We're trying to be the God of our own life. Still, we're trying to satisfy all these needs that God created us to have. And we're still, even though we've gotten access through the blood of Christ to those needs being fulfilled by God once again, we're still looking other places. And so we end up here. In selfishness and pride. And it seems natural. That is how we were born. That is who we were. That is how we are hardwired. That is this sin that's in there. It just seems okay to think about myself most of the time. You know, sometimes I try to hide it from others, and sometimes I try to act a way that maybe will be more appropriate in a social setting, but down deep, I want what I want, and get out of my way when I need to get there. I mean, I was in business for a long time for myself, and I happened to be in a particular business and a particular demographic of business where I was dealing with extremely powerful and wealthy people, and it was very interesting to see sometimes how clear it was how they got where they were. Because it was all about them, and if you got in their way, they'll just run you over. And so we see those examples, but a little bit of that, right, is in each one of us. Think about it. I wish if we had two more hours here, I'd just say, okay, spend the next 2 hours meditating on all the junk you'd pulled yesterday. Well, I thought I was a pretty good person. You know, and then I saw, well, how did I talk to my wife? How did I deal with that problem when the guy cut me off? How did I react when somebody cut in front of me in line at the grocery store? How did I react when they didn't have the thing I drove all the way down there to get? It's in there. And we go there because we're broken. So we see these sins in Scripture are because we don't think God thinking. Since in Isaiah 55, 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. How many of you have come to that realization? Yeah. I wish I could think like God more, but my thoughts are not your thoughts. He says, you're never going to be quite like me till I can fix you, and you're going to be a lot more like me. And my ways are not your ways. Your ways are selfish and prideful and evil. And then in Proverbs it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way to death. And so that's basically, look, I'm warning you, folks, the way that you were born, the way that you naturally think and feel and behave is destroying you. Now, Christians, I've given you a way out. I've given you my Holy Spirit, and it's going to have gifts, and it's going to have things. We're going to talk about that. It's going to have ways for you to get around these things that everybody else is still dealing with, that you're still dealing with, but I'm going to give you an option to move out of that. So we see that. Okay, so what does God think about these things? You know, is it really as bad as we think, or I'm telling you? Well, let's see. In James chapter 3, 14 through 16, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Why do you think Cain killed Abel? It says so right there in verse 14, 15, and 16. He had selfish ambition. He had jealousy. He had pride. And it led to a very vile practice called murder. So if you're wondering, why am I doing these things? Because you haven't been able to deal with some of the pride and the jealousy that's within you. And then it says here, there, in Proverbs 16, everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. For pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, God does know the consequences of living a life predicated by pride and selfishness. He understands what it does. He understands that it opens the door to all kinds of other sinful behaviors. He understands that it is a destructive force in the life of his children. He's telling us right here in his word, this is leading you somewhere I don't want you to go for your own good, and trust me, you don't want to go. Have I explained the problem to the point where you understand how serious it is? Yes, hopefully, yes. Because why? Why is that important? Because we're going to get to the fourth thing, which is how do I avoid them? And if you don't make this a priority in your life to root out selfishness and pride, you're going to end up with some very negative consequences. So how do I avoid these? Do you think everything in life relates to Romans 12, 1 and 2? Sometimes I wonder. First of all, we have to change our thinking from man thinking to God thinking, which is in verse 1 and 2. But the other part is we have to die to self. We have to say, okay, I am intentionally going to take this selfish part of my existence that's still there, and I am intentionally going to say, God, I'm having trouble with selfishness and pride. Can I lay that at the foot of the cross? Will you kill it in my life? If you do not do that, it will continue to thrive. Because the broken part of us in there is generating this like a factory all the time. And if you think somehow I can just go into neutral and kick my life into neutral and not worry about it, and somehow God's just going to work in me, good luck with that. Intentionality is required to say, God, I see this in my life. You've told me how damaging it is. Kill it. And I'm going to give it to you in an intentional way. How do we do that? How do we do that? You own it. You admit it. You give it to God. And then you walk away. Because you can't fix yourself. You cannot stop yourself from thinking and doing this. You can't on your own. You can make some, you can do something that maybe people will think you're doing, and hopefully God is working in you and has been since you became a Christian and you see some progress in these areas. But I'm telling you, you cannot fix this on your own. It requires dying to this specific part of yourself, which requires you to acknowledge it every single day and give it to God. And say, God, I can't get over this on my own. You kill it in me. Please, God, will you please kill it in me? And then I need to change man thinking to God thinking. And that's verse 2. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, which are what? Look out for number 1. Which is look out for number 1. How many of you have not gotten that message that that's what the world's telling you? Look out for number 1. This whole, consider others better than yourself in Philippians chapter 2. Oh, that's nonsense. You can't really believe that, can you? Because the world is saying, no, you look out after number 1. I mean, it's up to everybody else to look after themselves. I had a guy tell me that after he took me to the cleaners for about $30,000. He said, well, I'm here to make sure I get the best deal. You were supposed to be doing the same. If you didn't do a good enough job, that's on you, not me. And he walked away after virtually stealing $30,000 from me. And he felt, I asked him, do you have problems sleeping at night? Nope. You should have been better at what you were doing, Tim, because I was really good at what I did. And we have ways of justifying it. So we have to change the way we think. And we can't do that. So we have to say, here's what God says. Don't be conformed, which actually in my verse is the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How would you do that? How? How can I redo? How can I have redone in my head how I think? Once again, it requires intentionality. And then you got to go to the source of truth of God's will, right? And that is His Word, right? If I want to think like God, I better be talking to God, and I better be reading about God who gave me the Holy Spirit, which is leading me to all truth, so that I can have a biblical worldview instead of the broken, selfish, prideful human worldview as it relates to everything I do in life, everything. Everything. And so we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. If you don't want to go here, that is the steps that you can take. Be intentional. Give it to God and ask Him to kill it, specifically kill it, that thing. And then be transformed by renewing your mind into God thinking instead of man thinking. You want to stay down the middle of the pathway of transformation, or we call it sanctification, you need to do those things. All of these 5 things that were at the list in the beginning are out there, and we're all prone to doing them, along with a whole litany of other things. And if we are not intentionally evaluating them, giving them over to God, and looking for the truth of God's will in Scripture, God, I'm really kind of confused. Is this selfishness thing really bad? Well, then read those verses I just gave you. yeah, I guess he's right. This is probably not good for me thinking about myself all the time. But it's really hard, God. That's just how I get up thinking like that. Yeah, I need to give that over. And then you have to be intentional. Well, number two, you have to imitate Christ. And so this is what we see. This is do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, is one of the versions in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. But in humility, count yourself more significant, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Jesus Christ. So what is he telling me? Okay, first, if you go on to read that, it goes on, it gives you an example. He says, and have this like Christ did, who thinking being God was not something he was going to own. He was going to say, I'm going to sacrifice myself for all of you. And so it's saying, I can have that same mind. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. I can give you that, but how do I get out of the man thinking? How do I get out of this rut of being selfish? Well, we see in Galatians. Actually, we see it. So the fruit of the Spirit, and all my kids, damn kids, can give you all those. But look down there in verse 25. Well, actually, in 24. So those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Is that the killing of the bad stuff? Yeah, there's a number of places where it tells us in the Bible. When I became new, I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so somehow there's a crucifixion process, but I keep raising that stuff out of the coffin and getting it back. So if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So it's telling, we can see, and you can read again in Romans, and it's in chapter 8, at the beginning of chapter 8. Josh is going to tell you about that in a couple weeks. He's memorizing the whole chapter 8 of Romans. And it's going to tell you in there, here's the answer. When Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, what am I supposed to do to get rid of this battle that's going on inside? Well, here it is, live by the Spirit. Okay. So that is this intentional, okay, God, as much as I try to control my life, as much as I try to steer it, as much as I try to improve my thinking, I can't do it on my own. And so I need to, because it says, life in the flesh is death. Life in the Spirit is life and peace. Okay, so how does that happen? How do I give myself over to the Holy Spirit? Because if you really want to not end up being selfish and prideful and not doing God's will but doing your own will, and the other list of three things that are in there, how do I make sure that I'm getting away from those? Then I have to live with the Holy Spirit in control of my life. Because here's what he does in you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many of you would like to have all those things? You don't have to put your hands up, but how many of you are believers in Christ, followers of Christ? Guess what? You already have those things. Are you taking advantage of them? See, this is the thing. Now, and I've had other pastors tell me that they don't agree, but I say you get gifts of the Spirit, those are yours. The fruit of the Spirit, he doesn't give you. It's him. This is the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in my life. And when I do these things, it looks like it's me, but it isn't. This is the fruit that's being produced in me by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so this is, recognize, I don't automatically just become these things or have these things. I have to let the Holy Spirit generate those things in my life by getting out of his way and living by the Spirit, which again means, Why is it that we want to control our own lives all the time?
Because we don't trust God.
Pride, selfishness, and fear. we need to, if we're, it's hard for us to give God control because we do want it. We want to control it. Why? Because then I can kind of figure out how it works for me the best. Or I'm afraid of letting someone else do it because I've seen other Christians in their lives went, oh my goodness, how could God let that happen? But you don't do any better on your own anyway. That, I mean, I can give you that right now. So, if you really want to avoid the consequences of pride and selfishness in your life, it's going to require all of those things: intentionality, turning it over to God, the renewing of your mind, and living your life controlled by the Holy Spirit. That is God's will for you. It is. And God has this abundant life where you can feel peace and joy and safety and confidence. And that's His will for your life if we get out of His way. All right, let's pray. Father, this is a much bigger road and hurdle in the road than we probably can recognize most of the time and understand how tragic it is when we don't see it, don't deal with it, and allow it to stay there. So, Lord, I just pray that you give us that. Give us the confidence, give us the intentionality, and then give us the courage to want to deal with it. And then it says in your word that you can take this from us, at least for the majority of the time, you can take this from us so that we can really experience a life where all of our needs are met by you. And that is, and I know you know what it's like, but that's what's best. It glorifies you and it's best for us. And so, Lord, I just pray that you move us in that direction. Make it obvious how important this is. And we give you all the glory as we know you're doing all the work. In your precious Son's name, amen.